Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for Live Dharma Sunday. Please note that if you have called in to listen to today's broadcast, that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you're listening from any of our Bright Dawn sites, note that it is not necessary to call in. You may have to wait a second or two for the loading and buffering process to complete, but if there is still no audio, please refresh your page. For more information about Bright Dawn and its activities and links to our social media sites, please visit brightdawn.org. Once again, thank you for listening to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the talk.
Good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for September 29th, 2019. I'm using my new smartphone that my wife Adrian got for me, so I hope that it is working okay. It's probably working okay. Maybe I'm not working it okay, but I hope my volume is okay. Koyo Kubosa here, and so we're very glad you joined us. At the end of September, things are starting to cool down weather-wise. And a couple of days ago, we drove into San Jose. We were invited to our granddaughter, 11-year-old Brooke. She's in the sixth grade. Her school sponsored a Grandparents' Day. And so we went and started at 9:30, and we went into the gymnasium. A lot of other parents there too, grandparents, and they had some refreshments. And about 10:15, 45 minutes later, we all went to, we met some parents. We were sitting down at tables and getting to meet some of the other parents there, grandparents. And then 10:15, we went into the chapel area, large chapel. And, you know, maybe, I don't know how many parents were there, maybe over 100 grandparents. We were welcome there. And some of the lower grades, this is middle school. So first grade through eighth grade. And our granddaughter, Brooke, is in the sixth grade. Some of the younger classes, they sang songs for us. You know, okay, the first grade will sing this song for you, the announcer says, and they come out and they sing. And then at one point, all the kids, they go into the pews there and sit with the grandparents. So Brooke came to, they find us, you know, I guess they got good young eyes, so they could spot us sitting in the crowd, and she came and sat with us, and they finished up the program, and the MC teacher said, now you can go, your grandchild can take you on a tour of the school or classrooms if you want to. If you have signed out your child, their grandchild, then you could leave the campus school grounds at any time you want. Okay. And we ask that you take a couple of other children with you. You know, she was joking around, and that kind of humor was nice. So we did. It was very nice to see the school grounds and see all her classroom, meet her teachers, see where she sits in this science and this math and everything, and how her schedule is, where her locker is, and how she's organized. It was pretty impressive. And then her mom, Bailey, our daughter-in-law, came with our new grandson, Tyler, who's only 3.5 months old. She came in to meet us about noontime there, and Tyler was in the stroller, and we took some pictures around the campus there, and then she made a call to Tate, our son, and he works close by, and he said, well, let's go to lunch, and we'll go to Sweet Tomatoes. And so he met us there, and we enjoyed a nice lunch. And then we went over to their place and just kicked back and spent some quality time with Tyler. And then we drove home. We left around 4 o'clock or so, and we made the 3-hour drive home. We go through some mountain areas on the way home called Pacheco Pass. It goes past the San Luis Reservoir area there. And GPS traffic monitoring said, oh, there was an accident and it's going to cause considerable delay. And it did, but we don't mind. We're not in any hurry. And so we just kick back and we just, you know, talk about all kinds of things and enjoy each other's company. So it's no big deal for us. And that was Grandparents' Day. And now as I'm talking about it, I was thinking about generations, you know. It even flashed into my mind when we were sitting in the chapel and Brooke was with us. I had a flash of an image of, I felt like saying to her, you should remember this day because you might experience a day way in the future when you come to visit your grandchild and you're sitting like us in this chapel and you got your young grandchild with you. That's probably pretty hard for 11-year-old. To really imagine, huh? But to get a sense of generations all lined up, you know? And I remember, you know, when you lose your parents, sometimes it was said that, oh, you became an orphan. You know, you lost both of your parents. They both passed away. So now I'm an orphan, you know. And of course, your relationship with your parents still is alive, okay, in your heart and mind, okay, even after many years after they're gone, of course, okay. But, you know, when you're a young person and you get to enjoy your grandparents and, of course, your parents, okay, you had these two buffer generations in front of you. So you don't think too much about the nature of the succeeding generations passing on to the next generation. Then after you lose your grandparents, and then so many decades later you lose your parents, and you're the next generation in line. You know, it really makes you think of your more human mortality and so forth. Okay, this is nature. And it reminds me of a very classic Buddhist story, teaching story. It's a parable, and it goes something like this. There was a man, he had a nice family, and they were having some kind of a significant family get-together, celebration at their home. And so he asked the village priest, Buddhist priest, to, you know, come as an invited guest and so forth. So they were sitting down to eat, and the man asked the Buddhist priest to give a blessing. And the Buddhist priest said, well, I hope that your parents, giving a nod to the parents, pass away. And then I hope that you and your wife pass away. And then I hope that your children right here pass away. And the father was shocked on this celebratory event. What kind of a blessing was that? And he asked the priest, what are you saying? Oh, and the priest said, oh, well, you see, nature and the natural cycle of events is that the grandparents pass away, then the parents, and then the children, in that order. That's the natural way. And if it goes that way, then you are smooth with that natural way. But if that order is changed, and if a parent passes away before the child, and so forth, it's really impactful tragedy for the whole family and the generations. Okay? So we should be very mindful and thankful if the proper natural order is maintained within a family, then that is how it should be. And we're so glad that no tragedies occurred. Isn't that an interesting perspective? Wide perspective, and a very healthy one, okay? About, it shows, I think, the Buddhist viewpoint about nature, natural laws, and the reality of life, and being one with that. Very, very good. All right. I want to introduce our lay minister to give us a guest, the Dharma Glimpse today. His name is Levi Shinyo, and he was part of our LM9 group. He lives in Pennsylvania. Okay. LM9, we're on LM 12 and 13 right now. So it was a few years, just a few years ago. So let us hear from Levi Shinyo.
Hi everyone, Levi Shinyo here with this week's Dharma Glimpse. Recently, I went back to school for my master's degree in divinity. And as a Buddhist in a Christian seminary, it's been a strange yet rewarding experience for sure. Recently, we read a book called God the What, which talks about how our metaphors for the divine, God, or whatever else you'd like to call it, teaches us about how we look at and experience our lives. As somebody who wants to work in interfaith dialogue, it was a fantastic read. But personally, I wasn't able to really connect to any of the metaphors. Each was put in the context of a kind of person. God the father, God the seamstress, God the jazz musician. So I asked myself, why do none of these speak to me? Questions like this. Is there a God or not? Do we have souls or don't we? What happens to us after we die? When someone asked the Buddha these, he met them with a noble silence. But Buddha's silence was not one out of fear, not one out of confusion or rudeness. Rather, this silence was a challenge to the asker to reflect upon why they were asking these questions. And did these questions even make sense? The Buddha taught us how to escape from the cycle of dissatisfaction, and to provide answers to these questions probably would have ended up making people more nervous, would have led to further questions. So rather than doing so, he simply remained silent. This got me thinking, what other kinds of things in my day-to-day life am I asking about? And how many times am I asking the wrong questions? I thought back to a time where a friend had said something which hurt my feelings, and I asked myself, how could they have said such a hurtful thing to me? Of course, what this led to was more questions and assumed answers. But I realized all those things were just the results of asking an inappropriate question given the circumstance. Perhaps I could have instead asked, does my friend even know they hurt me by saying that? And that led me, instead of all these different questions and assumed answers and scenarios I've created in my own head, to simply asking them and working it out. Sometimes it's not the answers that are inappropriate. Sometimes it's not the answers that are incorrect. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are these questions even appropriate to what I'm looking for? Think about this in your own life. Are you asking questions that don't make sense? Are you asking things that you'll never find a good answer to? Try to reflect on this. Reflect on what you're asking and why. That's all I have for this week. Thank you for having me on again, and may everyone find peace, love, and wisdom in their lives.
Wow, thank you very much. I think that is so significant in terms of sort of a Buddhist attitude about life, when you're thinking about life. What kind of questions am I asking, you know, in this context? That might be more important in some cases than getting answers to those questions. You know, because sometimes questions are rhetorical in the sense that it sets the stage for certain direction of inquiry, and that process of inquiry and learning, you know, what you will learn, it's not that you get a specific answer to that specific question that is the meat of your personal experiences, okay? But it's just that question open up a certain door, and you could look inside and all kind of interesting things to experience, okay? Maybe lead you places where more significant, more ultimate kind of answers than the one that the question first was posed about. So questioning, sometimes we, maybe this is, I don't know if it's Western or not culture, but having the answers and putting the whole value and emphasis on answers. And not only answers, of course, but the right answers. So this brings into the question, what is right? In terms of what is the right kind of questions that I'm asking? Okay. And what does it mean when you say, is this answer right? We know what it might mean in a scientific, factual sense, if it's lawfully correct. Okay? But what about in human affairs, one's personal life? Let's put a question mark on that, and that is and value that question mark. Introspection, self-reflection is the modus operandi of Buddhists. Not looking outward for answers, okay, or for someone to tell us what kind of questions and answers are the right ones. Okay, we have to discover it in the crucible of our own self-reflection. Thank you very much. That's all for today's broadcast. And until next time, keep asking, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you.